Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Cuatro de Mayo con Jack y Señor Frontalot.
Hola.
You forgot about yourself, Mr. Skullhead.
No, I don't count. When you and MC Frontalot are on, really, I'm just window dressing.
Ah, come on. You're crucial to the process.
And me, Señor Calavera.
Cabeza de Calavera?
Yeah, I think what would it be like, just mucho frente for Frontalot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
mucho frente.
I don't think frontar is a verb.
Yeah,
in Spanish.
Remember how your mother warned you, Mr. Skullhead, not to hang out with musicians because they're a bad influence, that they'll lead you into dens of iniquity and vice.
Mm-hmm.
He's got me. I'm drinking a glass of whiskey, even though after last night I swore I'd never again touch the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Frequently have you sworn that you would never again touch the stuff?
I never actually say that.
All right.
I did spend most of the day hungover, and seems foolhardy to be drinking again, but it also seems like I'm always too nervous to do the radio show if I don't have at least a drink or two.
And you got to admit that you are a pretty hardy fool, you know.
That is true.
Hardy, but you can take it.
Yeah.
I think that at some point you should do the, I swear to God, I'm never going to drink again. But you have to wait until you're like drinking from a paper bag in an alley and you see something weird happen. And you can go, oh, I'm never going to drink again, and smash the bottle in a comic fashion.
Yeah, make a big show out of it. Yeah, yeah.
That character never gets returned to, like later in the film. You never find out like how their new sobriety was working out for them or whether they stuck to it.
In Back to the Future, we know that he used to be the mayor of, I almost said Sunnydale, but Hill Valley.
Valleydale?
Yeah. Hilldale Valley.
Valley Hill.
You know, I still haven't watched I brought the last and next to last seasons of Buffy with me, and I still have not watched them because I cannot do so on the broken-ass DVD player.
I thought you were borrowing Front's DVD player.
Yeah, we got too drunk after radio. I forgot to give it to him.
Completely. I have to carry a DVD player home on the subway.
We'll solve that tonight.
If anybody tries to steal it from me, I will just hit them with it. Ha ha ha! Now your head hurts, and the thing you were trying to steal is broken. Sorry, Front.
You know, that works for a lot of the things that that you'd be trying to steal from somebody.
You know, like you run over somebody who's trying to carjack you? Poetic justice.
Somebody tried to steal your boxing glove?
Yeah. Or your knife.
Right.
Or my cyanide capsule that I keep in my teeth. Of course, what are they going to do with that other than, you know, destroy themselves anyway?
And to be honest, if you let them get that close, then you're not using your suicide capsule properly. If they have their hands in your mouth, you have failed on your spy quest at some level.
What if you're one of those ones that's designed to kill Baron Harkonnen instead of the person whose tooth it is?
Right.
Oh, right. Like the one case of death by halitosis in the sci-fi universe.
Yeah. I want to know how they got it to make that crazy green mist. I'd like to be able to do it without the poison in it. Like, I'd like to just be able to sort of like at will breathe a big cloud of green mist.
What's stopping you?
A big cloud of Canadian mist.
Well, see, it was a cyanide capsule, but it also had wintergreen certs in it.
Ah. I haven't thought about certs in a long time.
So green.
I feel like I used to eat a lot of certs. My grandma always had certs. Do they still make certs?
I kind of think they do, but they don't sell them anywhere in the you know, coastal U.S.
Huh. You're not allowed to buy them if you're under the age of 55 or so.
Yeah, kind of like Reader's Digest.
Right.
You know what I wish were readily available as they were in my youth? Sucrets.
Yeah, I didn't realize they didn't sell Sucrets anymore. They make like a Sucrets spray.
Oh, yeah?
Those are the pretty... They were like the kind of half cough drop, half candy.
Yeah. Oh, they were so good.
Pretty tasty.
Not Isn't like, any candy kind of the same effectiveness level of cough drop as a Sucrets is?
What kind of candy?
Any candy. Yeah, I don't know that Sucrets actually had any medicine in it. I think it would be sort of irresponsible to have anything that tasty that actually had any active ingredients. It was like menthol.
It was menthol, yeah.
It's not going to hurt
you. The active ingredient is your spit, pretty much. I don't know. It makes you salivate more and moistens your mouth, so you're less likely to cough.
Mmm. What have you been up to, Mr. Skullhead?
Moist. We went to the awesome hippie parade yesterday. It was most excellent.
What? They have a parade for awesome hippies?
Yeah, it's the apparently the May Day parade every year.
Oh.
This year was on Sunday the 3rd, but it's run by a super, super, super liberal puppet theater group.
Are there any conservative puppet theater groups? Come on.
I'll bet there are, you know. But you get, like, the whole theme this year was that the economy was a house of cards and we were trying to prop it up with shit, but we needed to get back to the real economy, which was the economy of nature, and somehow, like, pigs figured in there, and then there was good shit later on that was the positive shit that was gonna make everything grow, so, like, little kids dressed as pieces of poop.
Really? And,
like, but then there were, like, a giant spider float that had moving legs and people in really interesting, intricate costume puppet things. And so it was really kind of cool.
Did your child enjoy it?
Good. He slept through about half of the parade, which this motherfucker slept through a drum corps.
Huh.
Like, standing right in front of us. And yet, if I clear my throat, he wakes up and cries.
Maybe you should try clearing your throat in the manner of a drum corps.
Yeah. Or maybe he just doesn't like you.
Maybe I do need some rhythm. Hey, can you guys handle it for a bit? Speaking of the child, he's crying hysterically, and nobody can console him. I gotta go regulate that a little bit.
Sure. All right, you go do that.
All right.
So how's it going, MC Frontalot?
I'm doing all right. Drinking some whiskey. Trying to decide whether or not to install the developer version of the OS on my G1 phone.
Yeah. What benefits would that convey?
Well, for one thing, the 1.5 version of the OS is out, but I can't find the version that will install on the retail phones. It only wants to install on the developer phones. And you can root your phone and fake it into developer mode, and then I'd be able to install it. Or I could just wait, but then I'm not convinced that it'll come down over the air if I just wait.
It seems really frustrating that on a product where there are clearly going to be a lot of people really looking forward to a software update, you know, it's not like an old, you know, my Nokia. There was a software update, which means my phone doesn't work for 10 minutes, and it was like a hassle. It was never like, oh my god, I can't wait until the 2.0 software comes out for this Nokia so that some shit that I won't notice will stop going wrong.
Yeah,
it seems weird to distribute it that way, where you didn't have any control over when you got it.
It's not great. T-Mobile's been kind of terrible about the whole thing.
I guess the fact that you can update it over the air is handy.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the way to do it if it were a device that was enjoyed primarily by people who wanted telephones. But I think everyone who owns one of these wants like a little laptop in their pocket and they want to like hack on it and do like funky stuff.
Right.
So you should give me the download link, T-Mobile, to your over-the-air version of this OS so I can stick it on an SD card and force it to update and not wait around for a month.
Do you think that T-Mobile is listening to this podcast?
No, but Echelon is listening. And
that's true.
They talk to T-Mobile every day for the daily briefing on whose phones are getting listened to.
Their robots are quickly indexing all
the text.
I think,
yeah, it might be just robots having those meetings between Department of Homeland Security and the phone companies. They may no longer even have to have staff members on the calls. We're saving money for you, the taxpayer.
Trying to think if I've done anything interesting in the time since the last Monday show, because we didn't do a Thursday show because I was having problems.
What problems?
Laptop was acting goofy. I'm also not sure that we have two functioning mics, so it probably would have ended up being a frustrating experience trying to get me and Hot Stuff on the thing at the same time.
Gotcha.
I have these little headset mics that have been awesome for 2 years, 3 years. They're just perfect mics. They're the perfect microphone. I don't normally like wearing a headset, like actual earphone things,
right?
Because historically, and what I have not noticed is these fancy cans that I'm wearing here. You guys ought to see this professional ass setup that MC Frontalot has.
It's Project Studio. It's nothing fancy.
It's pretty cool, kids. I should take a picture of it.
Yeah, yeah, take a picture.
And then Twitter it, and then everybody knows your secrets.
They can already see, actually, if you're listening at home, and you go to YouTube and you type in MC Frontalot Cribs, like that show on MTV. I was not on that show on MTV, but some people from Gameplay HD, which is, I think it's like a 24-hour gaming network that was created to be filler by one of the the like satellite dish networks, so they'd have like, you know, an extra station in their next to basic package or something. Anyway, I don't totally understand why this network exists, but it does. And some of them came to my house and they did their little like parody of Cribs.
That's cool.
With my like small Brooklyn apartment, and you can see exactly what my workstation looks like and how big my monitor is.
Did you have to be funny?
They did not demand that I be funny, but I tried to be.
Did
anyway.
You have to flash all your bling and stuff?
Yeah, I don't really have much bling around the house. I showed off my classical guitar. I showed off my four finger knuckle rings that say Frontalot on them.
Yeah,
made out of those
crazy fridge magnet letters. Yeah. Those were the days before all this crazy magnetic poetry, when you just had a handful of letters.
Yeah. You had to work harder to create the poetry then.
It was good at forcing you to come up with sentences where none of the letters were repeated if you only had one alphabet.
And even before text messaging, you had to like get stingy with the spelling.
Oh boy, I didn't.
Of words.
No. I was not willing to do that. I was not willing to make that concession.
No compromise.
Not at all. Anyway, I normally don't like wearing a big headset, bulky, like an actual headset with you know, big earphones, because they make my glasses hurt my ears a lot. Because either these glasses or these headphones don't do that.
Well, your new glasses have very thin, what are these called? Stems?
Temple pieces. Yeah, I guess that's true. They're very flat. Not really pressing out of school. They're also cool. Make me look like I'm from space. You got the different glasses that you use for your computing.
Yeah, I do.
Did your eye doctor recommend that?
Or
did you find yourself having problems and you wanted to...
I really don't remember. It's been so many years that I've had two pairs of glasses instead of bifocals. I've never had bifocals. But maybe back when the eye doctor first said, you know, you should probably have bifocals at this point. And I was like, you know, 26 or something and unwilling to use the bifocals.
They make those no-line bifocals in case you want to be a sexy old lady.
I know, but that, and my mom uses those, speaking of. But I don't think, I think that part of your field of vision is then going to be like blurred into part two of your prescription. And it's just not, I'd rather have a comfy pair of glasses for the screen. And you know what? Having my computer glasses have these thin temples, and my regular glasses got thick ones, and so it's also nice to have these ones for lying in bed on my side reading, because then I don't smush my ear against the pillow and the glasses, and these are real issues in nerdery.
Yeah, because you're always wanting to read, and when you're myopic, it's weird, because you can't, like, going to sleep is always kind of an extra hassle.
Extra hassle, no joke. You got to find somewhere to put your glasses that's relatively safe. Can't just throw them on the ground. You step on them in the morning.
And you frequently don't want to sleep with them on the bed next to you, because you'll end up flailing around
as you
dream of being bullied. Because that's another thing that happens when you grow up myopic.
In your dream, the bullies destroy your glasses, and then when you wake, your glasses are destroyed, and you think, am I manifesting my dream life into the real world? No, you're just thrashing around. Yeah,
you get a little bit excited thinking that you might have some kind of magical powers, because that's another aspect of myopia is a, you know, sort of fantasizing about getting magical powers.
Exactly.
Remember the kid in the wheelchair in Nightmare on Elm Street 3? In his dreams, he was the wizard master.
That's right.
Freddy Krueger still fucked his shit right up, though.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger doesn't care whether you're a wizard master or not.
Yeah.
He leverages any fear that remains in your subconscious.
He'll fuck you up if you're a motorcycle badass. He'll fuck you up if you're like a gymnast. What do you gotta be to beat him? What do the people have in common? I think you have to be plucky.
Plucky, that helps.
You have to be a girl.
Only the girls, yeah. Ever.
I guess in the second one it's a guy
really?
That defeats him. Yeah.
So, Nightmare on Elm Street 2. The Dream Warriors?
No, 3 was the Dream Warriors. Isn't that Freddy's Revenge or Freddy's Back? Right, right, Freddy's, I remember, Revenge. There being like a school bus balanced atop some kind of spire, and Freddy re-enters the world by coming out of the inside of some guy. I remember that.
Right.
I think that guy doesn't make it. He doesn't survive being a chrysalis.
After you've had Freddy inside you, that's really, it's all over for the rest of your life.
You can really never date anybody else. It's just
you're ruined.
It's not going to be the same.
Ruined.
Those scars go all the way down. So I'm not sure if his whole body is supposed to be scarred or not. I guess he got burned up, right? But is your sweater enough to protect you? If it didn't burn in the fire, maybe it...
That is strange, because it gets ripped open. You see sometimes that his torso is also all filled with the, like, crinkles.
Mm-hmm. And in the first one, he slices his guts open, and it's filled with, like, yellow maggots and pudding.
Right. He could be full of just about anything at any point, since he's a nightmare.
Right. But whatever you're the most scared of is what he's going to be full of.
The question of the clothes is really kind of... That's like an important question, because his head's all fucked up, but his hat's perfectly fine. I think maybe he had some extra dingy clothes handy in the afterlife.
I see. He just had a lot of them, so he was able to just like cut them up for dramatic effect and just go back and get another one.
And maybe that's part of his torment, is that the very clothes that melted onto his body, causing all this terrible scarring, now have to be worn again, and they're just fine, but his body's all wrecked.
He didn't really seem like he was being tormented, though. He really is always, say what you will, but he's always enjoying himself, you know? The guy knows how to have a good time.
He absolutely is. I think that he just looks all painfully burned to frighten us, and he doesn't give a good goddamn. I watched Nightmare on Elm Street so many times that I broke the VHS tape.
It was one of a handful of movies that I had on VHS that I watched just over and over and over again as a kid. Weird Science was another one that
I
had.
That one a lot. I kept that on a tape with my science project. You ever see that one?
No.
It was kind of like a knockoff, but they ended up, I don't remember whether it was sort of time travel related. The obnoxious teenagers were way more obnoxious and less relatable than the ones in Weird Science. And there was no Kelly LeBrock, but it was pretty good. I used to watch them as a double feature because they were on the same tape.
I see. That was a weird thing about VHS. You'd end up with two or three movies on. It's like my grandmother had a satellite dish, like one of the big ones, like the big,
eight foot
diameter dish out in the yard.
Nice.
And you get to it was one of the first times I remember as a kid, you know, like turn a knob and then run outside and see something fairly large scale moving in response to you having turned the knob. I was like, wow, this is the fucking future.
I didn't know that. So wait, there was a knob inside that controlled some servo that pointed it at a different satellite?
Yes.
And you would just sort of bounce from satellite to satellite finding the channels you wanted?
I believe so, yeah.
That's crazy.
There were certain channels that were certain networks on certain satellites. Their names were like Galaxy something, and Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 5 and other. They had awesome names.
I remember everybody who had those could automatically pirate Showtime and HBO. And on Showtime and HBO, they would send down... They would have little messages composed, like little 30-second movies about piracy and why it was bad and why you should, like, send them a check, even though you had a satellite dish.
Huh. There was still a time... I think that my uncle might have gotten a hold of some de-scrambler kind of stuff. There was a time when I lived in Prescott that the cable company was still such that you could get the premium channels with the just little... I don't even know what they were. They were just these little tubes with a coax in and out.
It was the de-scrambler. And that was what they would put in your basement when you rented HBO, and if you like stopped paying your HBO bill, they would come to your basement and rescind it.
Right.
And that was their whole protection system. I don't know what the scrambling was. I mean, it's not that hard to like throw a bunch of garbage in with a signal that something else can just filter out.
Yeah. I have no idea what the actual composition of those things was inside. It didn't even look like there was any way to take them apart.
No, yeah, it was this little machined little tube.
Yeah. It was like a pill.
It was just like a Brita filter. Like, filtered all the protection out of your HBO.
Yeah, all the particulates.
All that particulate matter.
Yep. Oh, boy. I've still yet to Ah, man. I had a miserable day today. Everybody was hungover, and the water was turned off in the building.
Why?
Because in the building that I'm subletting the apartment in, they're like remodeling the bathrooms one at a time. So every Monday, they put up these signs say the water's going to be off from 10 to 2. Today, it was off from fucking 10 to 5.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ironically, it was raining. So
yeah.
You could go up to the roof with a bowl.
Yeah. But we didn't want to, like, take a crap on the roof. Not again.
Not again.
Not after that first time. It was nasty today. Nasty and rainy.
It was ugly and people were sad. But the evening's looking up.
That's true.
We're most of the way through our... I'm beating you again. We're most of the way through our first whiskey of the evening. And it kind of sounds like the baby daddy's back.
Yeah?
No.
Or at least maybe the baby himself leapt up onto the desk and started hitting things with other things in an effort to... make some noise.
Might be the same. What's that?
See, wah. See to my needs. Wah.
Everything okay? You need to hit off the bong after that,
dude,
dealing with your pain in the ass kid.
There's a definite witching hour for kids. Then just around 7, if they're inclined to fuss their will. He started to teeth. So, teeth or teeth?
I'd say tooth.
He's starting to
toof.
Have his gums hurt real bad. So, yeah, he was fussing. I had to go regulate.
Give him some Zwieback.
Aren't you supposed to like rub whiskey on the gums when that happens?
Yeah, but you guys took all the whiskey.
Mm. Yeah, that's weird. I didn't know you were keeping it at the liquor store down the street.
I'll K-mail you some.
Really, it seems really inconvenient that you keep your whiskey at a liquor store in Brooklyn.
Well, it kind of serves to regulate my drinking.
That's true. Right. It's true. Nobody tell him about mail order.
I tried really hard to mail order some whiskey because I wanted to give some scotch as a gift to someone who'd done me a big favor, and I did not want to go to where they were. And I looked all over the internet, and there is just no... there's no way to mail order scotch in this country. There must be regulations forbidding it or something. Or otherwise, because otherwise you'd... I mean, otherwise everyone would mail order scotch, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like... you know, I ended up learning, and it's killing me. What I need to do is just... I've ordered stuff online and had it delivered here. I should just do it again. But once I started buying cigars online, like a third the price of buying them at a cigar shop. And it's not so bad in Phoenix. Everything's fucking expensive here, though.
Oh, in New York?
Tobacco. Cigarettes are like $10 a pack or $11 a pack everywhere that I've seen them.
Indeed.
It's rough.
Front, are you still on your D20 quit smoking campaign, or have you gotten all the way down to one?
I did pretty well up until the last couple days, and then I broke up with my girlfriend, got all depressed, and gave myself permission to fail out of that campaign. So that character is dead. Breathor Inflatagon, my level 2 lung elf, right before hitting level 3, totally got a excess of poison traps.
Sucks, man.
Sucks.
Are you sure you didn't break up with your girlfriend just because you wanted an excuse to go back to smoking? Because that sounds like the kind of thing an addict would do.
I've been thinking about whether that might be true.
Yeah.
Every time I smoke, just further depressing. But I'm gonna take another hack at it. In my traditional method, which is to just stop smoking and chew the nicotine gum for a couple days until I get sick of that, and then be kind of bitchy to everybody for a couple days after that, and then be fine.
Let me know when you're going to do that so that I can not hang out with you.
As I sit here smoking my hookah, I can say that Easy Way to Stop Smoking book completely cured me of any desire to ingest tobacco products of any kind.
Did you actually read some book?
Yeah, when we moved here... we went to the like annual camp out and noticed that nobody smoked at all who used to smoke. And every single person I asked how they quit smoking, they said that they had read this book and it had kind of brainwashed them into not smoking. And since I wanted to quit the cigarettes before the baby was born, I picked it up and it does kind of just, it makes you not understand why you want cigarettes. Like it makes the habit seem really strange.
Yeah.
So
I think I remember having a conversation with you where I was very disdainful of your trying to tell me that this book would convince you to quit smoking.
It's a, well, it's something that would never work on you.
Sounds like the kind of dick move that I would make, at least. If I don't remember it, I'm just kind of making up some mean shit that I would say to you.
I was summarizing what the book was talking about, and you were disagreeing with several points, and it totally would not work with you, because you have to be willfully credulous, I guess.
Right.
You, like, suspend disbelief, and that's something that I can turn on and off a little bit.
Hmm.
So
I can only turn on your mom.
You can turn her off, too. Boy, howdy. As soon as them pants come off. Them pants.
Yeah.
Where are we at on the questions? I don't want to cover any material we've already...
We didn't read any questions. We talked about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I wonder if anybody has any... I'm going to reload the things. Because I was... Because I was in public transit on the way here, and also very forgetful, I didn't do any system messages. So nobody knows about the shows.
I mentioned it on Twitter.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm front-twatted it.
Good. Tiny Plastic Glebes asks why we didn't draw the D7 for the dwarf content.
Because that would be a giveaway.
It would be.
That would be the kind of spoiler that we wouldn't ever say on the radio.
You have to do like me and make a goddamn Excel spreadsheet.
The spreadsheet was pretty impressive.
The results of 60 dice rolls and start to notice shit. I tell you the thing, guys, if you haven't checked this quest out yet, it's the one that you can get out of the It's Not Yours, It's Mine. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Is it just always there after you've hit the guild?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it is.
Yeah, there's a little side passage off of your like regular mining area that you can get to, and there's this whole quest in there with a bunch of complicated math, and a whole like cryptograph system.
Good old riff.
And I figured it out. I stayed up late last night and figured it out without looking at the wiki, and it made me feel sort of proud.
Good.
And I now have a really fancy aluminum hat.
Sweet.
And then I looked in the wiki at exactly what the hat does, and apparently it's of great use to spading people, of which I'm not one.
Yeah, but still.
But it's still cool to have.
A trophy for you.
Yeah, it's like a little trophy. Oh, maybe I'll stick it in my trophy cabinet that I now have.
Sweet.
Word.
I'm still on level 4. This Ascension run.
Well, you know, playing Metroplexity has led me to believe that I think that something that I would very much want if I were playing KOL would be the ability to start over after the first couple of days of an Ascension run went badly. But I don't think we're going to do that. It's a little worse in Metroplexity because you are able, nay, likely to significantly damage your ability to go through stuff by kind of making choices that lock off certain branches of content. And the first time I like replayed through the whole thing, I played just kind of fucking around and exploring whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do the like little mini reset Ascension thing and just play through it again. And I'm actually gonna look at the wiki and do stuff and try and play pretty effectively. And did some stuff very early on that made the rest of the run through a lot easier than my current one is, and so I'm kind of floundering now. Have you checked out Metroplexity yet, Mr. Skullhead?
I keep going to the front page.
Yeah,
what is it?
So this is another game that somebody made. Mm. It's very KOL inspired looking, but it's fun. It's got this kind of cyberpunk city gang warfare. Crazy reality altering drug theme to it. Uh-huh. And it's pretty neat. I like the way it is. So the whole cyberpunk thing, right? Like Shadowrun, the way that they incorporated more fantasy elements into it was by having that weird, like magic awakening thing happen where, suddenly all the people who used to be dwarves turned into dwarves, and the orcs and the trolls and the elves all got back their true forms. But because magic woke up in the world. But this one, the way Metroplexity does it, the way they introduce the fantastical elements is by this drug that just sort of causes you to hallucinate things, but you're not so much hallucinating things as becoming aware of things that exist just beside reality.
Right.
That stay real. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. There's all kinds of different ways you can apply chemistry on the drug to give yourself different delivery mechanisms for it. You can smoke it. You can drink it. You can put it into little crystalline shards that cause you to grow spikes on your skin when you take it.
Can you boil them, mash it, and stick it in a stew?
You can. You can. You can bile them cabbage down.
That's excellent.
I think
I've been distracted because, you know, the new computer I got has kind of the specs of a gaming rig, right?
Okay. What kind of video card you got?
I have no idea. Ugh. It's a black computer. The one time that I tried to open it and do something with it, I got annoyed because it didn't have any expansion slots.
Ooh.
But I've gotten a little bit into gaming. I've found my old joystick, pulled it out, and I spent a couple of hours yesterday playing Pilotwing 64 on an emulator.
Nice.
I guess I guess computers are good enough now that Nintendo 64 emulators are totally plausible.
I tried a couple years ago because I really wanted to play, what's it called, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And they were not ready. They were not ready.
And now you can enable all of the, like, playing stuff on my old machine, you couldn't enable some of the texture mapping, and so it was pretty obvious which things were pixel and which things were rendered, and now it looks great.
That's cool. I'm glad you got to play your fat guy jumping around with a jetpack game.
Yeah, it's much better than actually going outside and jumping around with a jetpack.
Yeah, you can barnstorm. You can storm barns. I think I prefer Atari barnstorming to Pilot Wings.
I like River Raid.
River Raid was fucking great.
It's a pretty good game.
You know what else was good was SeaQuest.
I don't know SeaQuest.
I never played it as a kid, but then when the Pretentious Artist and I first moved to Phoenix, we spent a lot of time buying up Ataris and Atari games from thrift stores because it hadn't exactly caught on yet. Like, you weren't finding, you know, $10 Atari games in the sort of hipster boutiques
quite
when we got there. Then later, once it caught on, it became a lot more difficult to find the hardware and anything other than just 50 copies of Combat when you went to a thrift store. Because nobody cares about Combat. But SeaQuest is fucking good. It's very simple gameplay. You're moving around in a sub, and you can shoot, and you're trying to... You have a limited supply of air. You're going down, and you rescue these divers that pop in from the side while watching out for sharks. Sharks don't mess with the divers. They just fuck up your submarine, which kind of backwards.
What assholes.
Yeah.
It's like you're in Deep Blue Sea.
Maybe they're not sharks. Maybe they're some sort of aquatic rust monsters. So they can't really hurt the divers because the divers, their suits are all made of plastic.
And aluminum, yeah.
Yeah, but your sub is made of weak.
Your sub is covered with the blood of the innocent, you know.
Yeah, it could be.
Could happen. I liked the sequel more, that it was Holden Caulfield in the sub, and it was Ryan Sequest.
Uh-huh.
And he kept saying Sequest out.
Yep.
Whenever you quit the program.
It was good stuff. Nobody here watches American Idol.
That's true.
That's for the unwashed masses.
I think a lot of these questions, I feel like we read a bunch of questions in the middle of this thing. Yeah, I don't know. Now, Framistan asks, why is the documentation a pop-up? You could just use the central frame. That's true, I guess.
I kind of like having them in pop-ups.
Yeah.
Because then I've got it to refer to as I go back to whatever it is that made me need to see the item description.
Yeah, because you don't necessarily have a link back to where you were if it loads in that mainframe. You know, something that's frustrating is apparently there was either a new build of Firefox really recently or something happened that suddenly made just a ton of reports of this come in, but I guess in like the newest 3.0 Firefox, the fucking item description boxes aren't resizing properly.
Well, they're working on mine.
Yeah.
I think so.
Are they? Let's, I've probably
probably gotten disconnected. I'll load that up so that I do not get disconnected.
I emptied my inventory today, so.
Let me try it. I've got the latest build of Firefox.
Yep. So it's working here.
Yeah, it looks fine.
It's only an XP. It is. I don't know, man. Maybe there are some JavaScript maven out there who knows more about this than I do. But it is just. It seems implausibly difficult to get cross-browser code that knows how tall the content of a web page is.
Oh yeah, that's the holy grail.
Why is that so hard?
I don't know. I don't program, but my devs have told me you can throw the content in there and then find out how tall it made the window pretty easily.
Right.
But there's no way to do it ahead of time.
Yeah, well, I don't need to do it ahead of time. It's just weird that is one of the only places left in the game that has two separate ways of running for like Internet Explorer versus Firefox, right? And it just doesn't seem to work that well, and it doesn't take into account things like it just did weird shit like if you had the setting such that it overrides, because we've got the pop-up link such that it gets rid of the location bar and everything, right, in those pop-ups. Mm-hmm. And if you have your browser set up to override that and actually display the location bar and stuff on those pop-ups, that cuts into the height.
Right.
And that just seems really like a frustrating behavior that no one would ever want for anything ever. And why that's just the standard behavior is.
It would be easier if there were only one web browser. And that it wasn't, like, user-modifiable at all.
Yeah.
Like, Microsoft's pretty good at stuff like that. Like, what if there were just one web browser that Microsoft had?
Yeah, we had our chance. We had our chance to go that path.
Internet Explorer used to be the better browser.
It was, right after the 3.0 release. I remember when 3 came out, when Explorer 3 came out, and I was in this, like, basement hovel where some, like, nerd friends of mine were squatting in Berkeley, and they and this guy John came into the room and he's like, oh, how did Microsoft get the extra budget? We're like, what? For the clown noses. How could they afford all those clown noses? We're like, what? For the guys at Netscape. They need to get a lot of clown noses for the guys at Netscape because their new browser is so dope. And then I think we drank a 40.
Oh, great.
And looked at the awesome new browser.
That build that looked like for a while Netscape was chasing Internet Explorer instead of innovating, and so Netscape just became like a buggier version of Internet Explorer.
I remember that.
There was a period of time when Netscape got super kitchen sinky, and I just used Internet Explorer for many years and was very, very resistant to Firefox. And I don't think I really started using Firefox until 2.0 came out. We used to get into arguments where Scully would try and convince me to start using Firefox, and I would just be like, it takes like a fucking minute to load. I'm not going to use it.
And tabbed browsing is so stupid. I would rather have...
It took me a long time to get over my hatred of tabbed browsing because I was so accustomed to having multiple windows, using the taskbar for what the taskbar is supposed to be. And there are still times that I would rather have it that way.
But then you can open up extra windows pretty easy.
Yeah, I know.
I usually have actually two browser windows open, each with a bunch of tabs sort of relating to different pursuits.
So do I when I'm especially when I'm working in my office where I have multiple monitors. And I do that. I've got an extra monitor. There was a monitor left in the apartment. I had really frustrating behavior with my laptop when it's like sometimes when you plug in an extra monitor, it just duplicates what's on the screen onto the monitor, and then sometimes it will actually treat it as a secondary monitor. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure.
You mean sometimes Windows will figure out which of those you're trying to do correctly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it has to do with what mode the monitor is in, because sometimes you can, there's like a hardware switch on the laptop. It's not really a hardware switch, but it's one of those things like the volume control, you know, that works independently of the OS that switches between the laptop screen and the external monitor and both. And you would think both is what you want, but no, you actually have to disable the external display in order to get Windows to let you use it as a second monitor.
Hmm.
Which, counterintuitive. Herrikan suggests using OneLook.com for all my dictionary needs. It's simple and extremely useful. I looked at it. That seems kind of okay.
Hmm, look at that. That's pretty clean.
Quick definitions, and then it's got links to a bunch of other things.
Speaking of, like, Netscape-era web design.
This does look pretty... does look pretty straightforward.
Old-school shit. I like Answers.com.
Yeah.
I find it has a good... it has a good dictionary. It has, like, great usage notes put together by, like, some usage board that I don't know where they're quoting that stuff from, but it's always good. And then you scroll down a little bit, and whatever else you were looking for is there, like the thesaurus or antonyms or etymology, whatever.
Hmm. So then, oh, well, okay. So I don't know why I keep looking up dangerous as my example of
that. Good word.
I could get a dangerous ringtone.
Yeah, you have to ignore the little sponsored links at the top. Yeah. That's a little irritating. Mm. But I find
I'm still all about dictionary.com with the ad blocker on Firefox.
Mm.
It's the one that I can always remember where it is, too. So.
I just keep it up in the little Firefox like search options on the top right.
That's good. I never use those because it's like I always... I need to set up some of those. Control L,
and then you tab over to it, and then you can like zip right through them.
Yeah, with the arrow keys, and then you can still just type.
Pretty convenient.
You've got a Metafilter search in here?
I don't know why.
That's weird. I look at Metafilter daily, but I never have ever searched it for anything.
Neither have I. I don't know why I installed that. I think I just saw it and said, ooh, Metafilter, click. If you ever want to take control of my computer to add it to your zombie botnet, now you know. Just send me a email that says, ooh, Metafilter has a little icon I can click on.
Right.
Installs the Trojan.
Noah Nam writes, how come there isn't a corpse island on the poop deck adventure? Yeah, it's pretty good. It's in the other ocean. It's where Corpse Island is.
Corpse Island?
Yeah. The source of the Corpse Island iced tea.
Oh.
I always thought that was on the other side of the world. And in the parallel dimension that houses the afterlife. Or kingdom. Where there's a complicated... theological structure going on there, because we got Hades, which has Satan ruling over it, but then heaven is Valhalla, la.
Yeah,
and you can reincarnate, and nobody ever goes to Hades for being evil. But I mean, we got some monks. Like, what are they worshiping?
Yeah, it's strange. It's a strange cosmology. They there's also the infernal abyss ruled over by the seven seals.
Oh, that's true.
I really don't see any conflict between these things.
There's the divine ether, which is where the party favors come from, the divine favor.
And there's the other dimension that the astral badger takes you to.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no. That's just you eating psychedelic mushrooms.
Oh, I thought we don't have any drug use in this game.
No, we don't. Psychedelic mushrooms aren't drugs. Anything that Mother Nature provides is not a drug. It's only those chemicals made by those companies that count as drugs, man.
Dude, you would have been right at home at the hippie parade.
Data Vortex wrote, have you guys seen the demos for Akron, which is, do you think its engine has the potential to revolutionize RTS gaming? I've been quite impressed. If it's the thing that I think it is, I'm going to actually look and see.
Akron. It's not Archon, is it?
No, it's not. I believe that what this is. I saw some videos on Boing Boing. It is a real-time strategy game that involves time travel.
Okay.
So you can like send units to attack your enemy, but depending on where they are in the timeline, your units are also at home to defend your base.
Huh.
And you do things, and then there's like a propagation wave that goes through the time stream. I was... just even watching the simplest operations on this video, I was completely baffled. Like I saw somebody playing this game, and I was like, I am just not smart enough to play this game. So I just kind of lost interest immediately and didn't even finish watching the video. So, you know, there seemed like some cool ideas were being explored there. Did you ever see Primer, Mr. Skullhead?
No, that's one that I do need to see at some point.
The movie's good, isn't it?
It is good. Did you see it?
No, I just keep hearing that it's good.
It's, yeah, it's, you know, it's the best movie I've ever seen that had a $7,000 budget.
Better than Clerks.
I thought Clerks had like a $30,000 budget.
Really?
How about El Mariachi?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's like a $9,000 movie, right?
Okay, fine.
What about the KOL documentary?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I saw a movie that they should not have spent more than about $7,000 in on, but I think it was, I mean, it was definitely a multi-million dollar studio film.
What was that?
War Games 2.
Oh, yeah?
Came out last year. Available on the Netflix streaming. War Games 2? I feel like we must have spoken about this drunkenly last, or 2 weeks ago when I was on your show.
I don't know. I don't remember being aware of it.
It's like it takes everything that you loved about War Games and sort of systematically just rapes it and leaves it by the dumpster out behind the prom.
So does it start with just somebody gutting Matthew Broderick or something?
Like the Matthew Broderick character, for instance, is like he's supposed to be the nerd at school everyone picks on, but he's obviously like, I mean, he looks like he should be cast in High School Musical or something. Like he's... It's like a, you know, beautiful young LA actor. And then the computer is just, it's not even like, it's not like one computer who you can talk to and that has a personality of the dead son or something. It's like Skynet basically. And there's, oh God, it was just so irritating, but it's kind of, if you like enjoy outrage and hating things, it would be good to like cue it up and watch it. Cause you'll get really pissed off.
Huh? I watched a movie that wasn't very good. It was recommended to me by Netflix's little engine. It was called Cashback.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
I didn't care for it.
Is that the one where the dude who works in the bodega like has fantasies about stopping time and seeing nipples?
Yeah,
nipples.
That part of it is cool. It's you know, nudity, and there was a book called Fermata by Nicholson Baker that the guy actually had that power, and it explored what a lonely nerd would do with that power, and it was pretty interesting. But then this movie, though not based on it ostensibly, kind of wants to have it both ways. So his power to stop time is totally in his imagination, except for the last 20 minutes or so of the movie, which depend on it being a real thing that he can do. So, yeah, it kind of falls apart.
I don't like that. I think if you're going to have an interesting, fantastic, like semi-fantastical world, then consistency is everything.
But a foolish consistency, on the other hand, that's the Hobgoblin of Little Minds.
I just made the over-the-head hand motion to indicate
Who said that, Mr. Skullhead?
The Hobgoblin of Little Minds. I don't know.
It's like a well-known phrase. A foolish consistency is the Hobgoblin of Little Minds.
The New Dictionary of Cultural Literacy said that. Oh,
Ambrose Bierce?
No, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, yeah, old Ralph.
Or it might have been Lake or Palmer.
Oh, wow. The first thing is... oh, boy. Or Brooks or Dunn.
A bugbear. A hobgoblin, the second definition, an object or a source of fear, dread, or harassment, a bugbear.
Yeah.
I thought you guys made up bugbears. That's a real word, huh?
A bugaboo.
I was really pleased by Lore's I Can't Believe It's Not Bugbear shirt.
Ah, that's funny.
Much good.
Is he continuing to update Bad Gods every day?
Pretty much, yeah. The current story arc is the friendly Satanists. Sean and Wormwood.
Right.
That's not as funny as the Monster Manual stuff.
I have the Slumbering Lungfish on my RSS thing, my Google front page, and it hardly ever updates anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty much all on Bad Gods.
Yeah, it makes me think he's not doing anything, but that's clearly not true.
And the Twitter. He's big on the Twitter.
Yeah, I have his Twitter feeding into my little page of Twitter postings, and he says every time he updates Bad Gods, he mentions it.
Ah, well, that's good. I don't really feel like I can safely follow anyone on Twitter. What I need to do is start a personal Twitter account that I just use to follow stuff, to follow other people that I'm interested in following on Twitter, because I don't want to follow stuff on the shared Twitter account because I don't want to subject everyone else. Because I did that, like, the first day I was using it, I was like, oh, that's okay. You know, there's somebody that I was interested in following, but then everyone can see it when they log in, and I didn't want to have to subject everybody else to the things that I'm interested in. There are probably so few things that all four of us would want to follow. Like, I have to imagine, I guess there are more than four of us using it, too. Riff never posts.
I keep forgetting to, because I have to go to the GM tools to post, because otherwise I have to sign out of my Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. I always just use the app that I basically never... Yeah. Okay, so the GM tools automatically Twitter everything that we trivial update or announce, right? There is that tool that just lets us post something to the Twitter, but I'd say 99% of the time when I post something, I use the app on my phone that just automatically logs in as the other one. I probably install a different Twitter app for a personal.
Do none of the desktop Twitter apps that people use have multiple Twitter account functionality?
The one that I use at the office does, I know. It's got multiple accounts that you can sign into. It's weird. It's the only thing that I ever used that used that like Adobe Air framework to install, and it seems kind of nice, actually. Just like this nice way to let people install malicious software on your computer very readily.
Shouldn't you get more stats from the Manual of Labor on Labor Day, asks Donkey Lover.
No, because it's Labor Day.
Yeah.
Completely different.
But maybe you should create a manual of labor. Which only works on Labor Day.
I was pretty pleased with that little trinity of jokes. The Manual of Labor, the Manual of Dexterity, and the Manual of Transmission.
It's funny.
Yeah, those entertained me when I saw them for the first time.
Transmission was the one that took the longest to think of. And it was kind of a stretch to say, oh yeah, transmission, you know, like magic. It's, come on.
Transmitting
is magic. Yeah, transmitting things. Like magically. But, Luxander says, is there any chance of adding a hearty use for Goodfella contracts? With the April Familiar equipment, we have many people with contracts and no penguin. Well, you can use the contracts if your thing morphs back into a penguin, right? So, like, exactly as many times as you have the opportunity to get a contract, you have the opportunity to use a contract that you've already gotten.
We can make it so the contract allows you to do some kind of harmless trivial bit of damage to another player.
Yeah, like take away a hit point or two, or just give them an effect that doesn't do anything, you know, a temporary buff that's like minus a 1 pound of familiar. So, you know, something people wouldn't mind. If it didn't really
possibly take offense to that.
Yeah. Certainly nobody would post in the forums that they felt like they were getting raped. Literally raped every time someone did it to them.
Maybe we should get a lot of that, do you?
When we did Mafia contracts, that was how the forum thread went.
It's very interesting trying to allow people to interact with one another in this game. There was a big to-do, a big foo-farah about, I just think this is kind of funny, right? So the, like, Easter event that they did in World of Warcraft, they have an item that lets you target somebody and use this item, and it puts bunny ears on them, right? That's what it does. It puts a pair of bunny ears on their avatar. There was an achievement for the holiday to do that to one female character of each playable race in the game who was at least level 18.
Huh.
Which I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't understand. Oh, I get it.
Right. So, see, it takes you that long to even get what that kind of nod is, right? But seriously, I read this article on some, like, crazy feminist gamer blog about how, like, now, you are raping women every time you do this to them. Because there's no way to stop somebody from doing it to you.
That might be a little bit of hyperbole, but...
I don't know. I just, you know...
But I'm sympathetic to the idea that you do not want to... you don't want to give male players specific tools to do things to female player bodies without permission. That's like... That's a valid thing to discuss, whether or not, like,
so, I mean, but that,
the
that,
actual but problem then that means in this that, game is was severe.
So there are, you know, there is a wand that you can use that puts a pirate costume. It comes in, you know, in these Halloween treat bags or whatever. You can get a wand that turns somebody into a pirate against their will. And it's basically the problem that I have is that it doesn't seem like it is just in and of itself bad to let people do things to other players against their will, right? That doesn't because I would much rather I don't know, man. The alternative is like a confirmation box. Do you want to let this guy use this wand on you?
Right.
And you can say no. That's a pain in the ass. I would rather the feature not exist than have that confirmation attached to it.
But you're not suggesting that there's like no social factor that would make such things inappropriate. Like, you wouldn't give anybody a wand that allows anybody with a that allows you to like zap
and virtual, remove their clothing,
or to like zap virtual manacles onto someone whose skin tone was below a certain hue value or something. You know, it's like there's plenty of things that are offensive for real world social reasons. Putting bunny ears on level 18 girls is like, it's debatable.
I always forget that you're all super liberal.
Yeah,
it's hard for me. Like, I get accustomed to hanging out with my bevy of sycophants at home, and nobody ever bothers trying to spend any time disagreeing with my sort of hillbilly politics.
I agree that using rape as a term for that is probably way too much.
I don't know that anybody actually. But they definitely use assault. I don't know, man. I honestly just.
In Second Life, where there was the case of the woman who walked away from the computer with her genitals equipped, and somebody came up and had sex with her avatar while she was gone, and that was listed as sexual assault. And I mean, that's a whole lot closer to a sexual assault than the bunny ear thing, and I still don't get why that's a big deal.
I mean, it is because
of attachment to your avatar that's unhealthy at that point.
I guess I just don't, you know, it's like you're not allowed to make a joke that even marginally references anything sexual at all, right? The bunny ears thing, I just feel like in general, you can say that's stupid, right? Mm-hmm. You can say, well, that's dumb and I don't think it's funny. But I feel like to say, you know, it is, I've been violated by this, right, is just, I can understand, I can follow the logic, right? Okay, putting bunny ears on me in what is obviously a reference to Playboy, mm-hmm, is allowing someone to interact with me sexually in a way that I am not comfortable with, right? I can understand that, but right, like, I just think it's kind of wrong.
But so, say most users just are like, oh, that's not funny, I don't care. But then there's this small subset of users who, for whatever reason in their real life, have this like really violent emotional reaction to having something like that done to an avatar. And you can say, oh, like those people are too attached. Like those people have not drawn a firm enough line between their virtual body and their real body, etc. But they still have this reaction. And so it's not surprising to me that it becomes an issue, because anytime you've got a fully public,
right,
you know, space for people to do stuff, you have to look out for the feelings.
The question is,
small minorities of users.
To what extent does a small minority get to drive policy for everyone else?
Right.
Because I feel like you can find somebody who's offended by anything, and if, all right, how many people do you have to offend before something is worth taking out of the game?
Right.
Right.
And also, like, what are the parameters of the offense? Like, are you, even if there's, say you're running some game that only has 10 like black users, and you've got your manacle zapping wand,
right,
that like makes slavery jokes. You don't have to say that, because
I feel like I am running a game that probably has about 10 black users.
Ouch. So say you have like a manacle zapping wand in Kingdom of Loathing, and you've still got like an incredibly small part of your player base of like taking direct personal offense from it, but still you gotta, so you're looking at not only how many people are offended, but also the larger social implications of the offense in question.
But then you could say that the only reason that you would do that is to express a racist idea, right?
As opposed, well, no, you would say, oh, these people who believe they are post-racist thinks it's all in good fun. Same excuse you would have for the bunny ear zapper in WoW or whatever. It's like, oh, well, these people aren't sexist. They just think it's funny. And we're all, like, of the new generation, and we think that porn is empowering, and, like, Playboy's just fine, and nobody should be offended by it. And people think it's, like, a joke. Why are you taking the joke away from them for the sake of this, like, shrill, tiny minority of the player base?
The key thing is, like, you get to where you're telling somebody that they don't have the right to be offended, and that you're only going to regulate things that a reasonable person will be offended by. But everybody who's offended by something thinks that they're being reasonable.
Right.
So yeah, we had that when we put the roofie in the game as a pill that you could use to knock out a monster so that you could beat it to death. And people were okay with the fact that you can cut a monster's head off, but to give it a drug and knock it out was offensive. And to me, that didn't seem reasonable at all.
That's interesting.
But there were plenty of people who took...
Yeah, there was a big forum thread about that. I'm sure it's still in the forums.
There's about to be another one.
See, these are really tricky questions. I'm not saying that the questions are, like, easy at all, but I am saying that they are complicated enough that debate is not unreasonable.
Absolutely.
That discussion
Absolutely.
Is not.
I would rather just, like, if people know that you're not a total dick, then you get a free pass. Like, well, I wouldn't expect people to assume that Jick or I would make a joke about rape.
Right.
Like,
Wait, what? But seriously, have you ever met me?
But that's not how civility works, right? That's how groupings of people outside of civil society works. Like, you and your friends know where each other are coming from. And if I make, you know, if I make this terribly, this like terribly off color joke about sexual assault, hopefully somebody who I'm in this room with, or everyone who I'm in this room with, you know, knows where I'm coming from. But
like
in society, that's not the case. Ever.
Like, if you said something was totally gay,
I never say that.
Oh my god, MC Frontalot's a homophobe. That wouldn't even occur to me. Even somebody I didn't know, if they said something was totally gay, I wouldn't think that guy's a homophobe. I would think that guy's on the internet.
I mean, I guess you could make the argument that, like, so I am a guy that's impossible to offend, and so I have a very hard time accepting the idea that a company should draft policy based on how a small minority of people who is likely to be offended by something is going to behave. But, you know, I can't say that me inflicting that belief on society at large and trying to get everybody to come around to my way of thinking is any worse than the person who's offended by a, you know, very, in my mind, mild joke, trying to get everybody else to come around to their way of thinking and say, you shouldn't put jokes like this in the game. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm any better than them, you know, for just being pissed off. And I, you know, I will fully admit I have zero benefit of the doubt to somebody complaining about something offensive that they have seen in some media. Just zero. Because I feel like it is so important. Yikes. It is so important that, you know, just that I disagree with what you say, but I defend to the death your right to say it.
Right.
Like, I seriously think that the guys making World of Warcraft should make whatever fucking game they want to make, because the players of World of Warcraft have the most important possible right in a capitalist society, which is to stop playing. You don't get to go into a store and, like, yell at them and say, God damn it, the makers of Charmin toilet paper killed my uncle, and the fact that you carry Charmin toilet paper is a slap in the face. Every time I walk in here, I break down and cry. You know, just don't go to that store is my answer. And it's like, don't picket outside the store saying, tell these assholes to stop selling Charmin toilet paper, because obviously this is an exaggeration of the segment of society that is pissed off by a particular thing, and selling Charmin toilet paper. Not, you have to imagine that somebody at Blizzard thought this might piss somebody off.
Right.
But still, I feel like we sometimes think, should I make this joke? We might piss people off if we make this joke. But you know what? It's a good joke. It's our game. We need to make this joke. You know, I'm curious. What is funny to me? And I don't know what this says at all. The roofie thing, huge stink. The blackface thing, no, nothing. Ever. Nobody's ever said anything about it.
But the item and effect, or the effect description effect.
Yeah, yeah.
The effect description. The effect description condemns blackface culturally.
Okay,
that's how you get your pass.
So did the description of the roofie.
Right.
This is something that total dicks would use to take advantage of people.
Right. And then makes jokes about, you know, like convincing them to sell you a car too cheaply or what, like.
I wonder if it's because of just like the removal in time. Like at this point in our cultural history, like condemning blackface while making jokes about blackface is like far enough away from the practice, from the literal practice of blackface, that people generally think it's okay. Whereas roofies are, you know, I don't know
well,
if roofies
see, part
are
of the
hot
thing is,
these days.
See,
but
part of the thing is roofies, as far as I'm concerned, moral panic.
Moral panic. Oh, you mean because
never happened.
Huh.
And I'm not going to go so far as to say that no one has ever drugged someone and raped them, because I would say that happens millions of times per day in the context of men buying drinks for women.
But not roofanol specifically.
But people who are in the business of figuring out how date rape happens say that 99% of the time the date rape drug is alcohol.
And so, yet, okay, but he must have slipped something into my 10th martini. But it's one of those things where you can't even talk. You can't even have an honest, rational discourse about it.
But here's the issue: is that maybe not so much whether roofies specifically are as instrumental in date rape as they've been advertised, but the fact that date rape is something that happens to people and that is like this huge emotional scar on the lives of, you know, a third of all women, like many of your players, for sure. You know, it's like,
well, you know, the interesting thing about that, though, is the people who were some of the people who were complaining very loudly on the forums were doing so on behalf of people who had suffered date rape. The people who posted in the thread who had suffered from date rape, and some who had actually been drugged with Rohypnol, claimed to be, were saying, I'm not offended by that and it's fine. Hmm. But that didn't seem to make a point at all. It was far more people being offended on the behalf of a group who was saying, we are not offended by this. Hmm. I don't know. I feel like people think that when we start talking like this, we're saying that you don't have a right to be offended, and that's not true. I just think that you don't have a right to never see anything that might offend you. Like, you don't have the right to pull content from my game in the same way that I'm not going to tell you can't be offended by this. But
I mean, I feel like people definitely do have that right, but the way that they get to exercise that right is by walking away and not playing this game if it bothers them that much.
You don't have the right to have the world sanitized to a level where you can walk through it at will without suffering any offense.
I mean, of course, you're correct.
You get down to what's a reasonable person's level of, like, if I'm trying not to be an asshole, what level of potentially offensive stuff can I get into?
And I just wonder, you know, like, let's say that we are, I would say that we are significantly milder than South Park in terms of in terms of content offensively.
South Park's very edgy still after all these years.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and they sometimes do it by, you know, just kind of pushing the boundaries of taste for no good reason. I don't think, you know, there's
in itself.
Yeah, I watch South Park with my wife sometimes, and she just talks about how in every episode there is one thing where they just take it too far and it's gross and not particularly funny. Hmm. You know, like the Great Depression internet thing.
The Dust Bowl of the internet. Yeah. I thought that episode was hilarious.
It was great, and the moment that she felt that way about it, it almost always involves Randy Marsh, right? Because there's the one where he takes the giant shit where it just corkscrews him up off the toilet, which I thought was a fucking amazing scene in that cartoon. That was great. But in that one, it's where, you know, they didn't really need to show his giant load blown all over the surrounding area from beating off to internet porn, right? They did, so it's edgy in that regard, right? I don't know. He makes a joke about the ghost leaving the ectoplasm behind, and he continues to talk about whether anybody saw the ghost. Yes, I thought it was pretty funny.
I find that show, I always get the sense when I'm watching that show that they're not so much pushing the boundaries of like public viewership taste as they are sort of like having this face-to-face samurai battle with the network standards people. They're like, what is the very, like, how can we sneak our fingers over the edge of what's acceptable on this basic cable channel? And like,
it's weird though, there's no it's purely self-regulation, right? They could do whatever they wanted on cable.
No, they get shows pulled by the network. The Scientology show that like ran them into trouble, like,
but it's the network itself. It's not like
the, yeah, no, I mean, that's like who they're fighting,
the government.
It's Comedy Central Standards and Practices, whoever.
FCC get on to basic cable?
What's that?
I think that the FCC does have basic cable in its jurisdiction, right?
Technically, they don't.
It used to be the jokes. It used to be the sort of running joke in the 80s that cable was a device for you getting to see tits.
Right. It's and it's weird to me that they haven't just redefined what broadcasting is, but the FCC only has jurisdiction over things that move over the public airwaves, and all the data that's moved through cables exclusively, they're not allowed to fuck with. Such as, for instance,
it's a weird, and it's weird to me
what
that
we're saying right
yeah,
now.
Exactly, fuck, rape,
cunt boogers.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day
about cunt boogers.
I think I was drunk.
Yeah,
they said something, and I thought they said boogeyman.
Yeah.
And they didn't say boogeyman.
What did they say?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a terrible story. not worth telling at all. anyway, I don't remember who it was. I was probably drunk. This is I would not say that I've been drinking more than average since I've been in New York, but I would say that I am definitely like binge drinking here. Mm. I have definitely fewer beers on average in a day, but when I go out, maybe it's because I'm so nervous about going out in general, and like
kind of social anxiety.
Once I go out, and it's weird, like the social anxiety just came back with a fucking vengeance when I got here.
That's New York for you.
Yeah, man, it's an intimidating city.
It is.
But when I do go out and I get a few drinks in me, I'm suddenly a normal person, and I'm like, you know what? I'm staying out all fucking night because this is me. I am back. This is how I am.
Right.
And I'd like to continue to be me for as long as possible and not go to sleep.
Inebriation equals normalcy. Yeah, I love it.
It's a fucking panacea. Mm-hmm. It's proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
Were you trying to say something there, Skype guy?
I was just marveling at the way that alcohol can improve your life with no downside whatsoever.
That is marvelous.
Really, like, is. Being dependent on alcohol it to be the person that you really are, it's wonderful that alcohol is able to reveal that.
The thing is, I'm not. I'm just saying in this context.
I know, you're not an alcoholic.
Oh, I'm definitely an alcoholic, but it's not... I don't.
Alcoholics go to meetings.
Sure. I'm not saying that I need alcohol in order to behave like myself. I'm saying that alcohol helps me to behave like other people, right? Other people are not afraid to walk into a restaurant because they don't understand where you're supposed to stand to wait to be seated for a table, right? And suddenly go to a city where that is not consistent at all or made clear by any kind of signage, and everything works as though you were in some randomly selected foreign country, right? Like, I'm just saying. Couple of drinks, I'm a lot less worried about the shit that worries me. You know, the real me would probably just stay at home. Right? So I'm not saying drinking lets me be the real me. I'm saying drinking lets me take on the world as though I were a normal person.
Got it.
It is, as I said, panacea.
Is it almost time for like a smoke break?
Yeah, which is to say a music break.
It is time for a music break. We'll be back in about 13 minutes.
Sweet.
And we're back. Possibly.
Sweet.
Oh, good. I didn't give you guys any warning. I was hoping you'd just be waiting eagerly by the line there.
That's we were. Hey, I want to read this. Fineldar wrote in, "Dude, Jick, I have that problem too. I'm actually afraid to go into stores sometimes and buy things. I never go to a restaurant without somebody because I think I'll fuck up getting a table or ordering. I also get all jittery and nervous calling people on the phone. I still, if there's any way to avoid it, I will not call and order a pizza." Because I just hate, I don't know, man. It is, here I've gotten kind of used to just like sort of calling people with thick accents that I can't understand and ordering food for delivery and just sort of hoping that everything is going to work out okay. But it's seriously like, it's like I'm in junior high asking a girl to a dance every time I call and order a fucking plate of pad thai for delivery. I don't know what it is, man. I guess it's just a particular flavor of social anxiety.
Yeah, I have that. I hate talking on the phone, and if there's any hint of awkwardness in a social setting, like, you know, if I bring something up to the register and it's rung up at a price that was higher than I expected and I don't really want to pay, I buy it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I end up in weird situations because, like, I just sort of, like, refuse to rock the boat in places when something is fucked up. There are so many times where she and I will be in somewhere and I will get frustrated with some interaction with the person working there. And I will just like, I will have no choice. And I feel so bad for her when I do this, but I have no choice but just turn around and walk out of the place. Hmm. Like, I can't deal with being mad at people who work places. Cause it's like, I get this like indignation when things don't make sense. But for some reason, I'm just like, you know, and part of it, like, after the fact, I can chalk it up to, like, if I was working there, I'm just doing my job, right? I wouldn't want somebody to, like, fuck with me, you know? But then I was like, you know, when I was a manager at the theater, and I had to, like, deal with a lot of customers who were pissed off about policies that didn't make any sense, it didn't really bother me. I was like, you know, listen, I'm sorry, but it doesn't make any sense that you're not allowed to see this movie, but you're not. The company sends people in here to check to see if we're letting underage people into R-rated movies, and if we do, they fire us. So I'm not letting you into the movie. Right. I'm sorry. You know, you should be able to watch this movie, but I'm not comfortable staking my job on letting you in. So, you know, like, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm not willing to do some, you know, I'm not willing to do stuff to people that I wouldn't mind people doing to me. Because normally I got that whole categorical imperative thing going on. Speaking of which, G minor 7th, who's not the categorical imperative.
No, that's one of my drummers.
Yeah, that was going to be a good joke until I realized halfway through that it didn't make any fucking sense.
Happens with a lot of jokes.
Yeah, it happens to almost all of my jokes.
Two Marines are in the bathtub and one says, "Pass me the soap," and the other one says, "What do I look like, a radio?"
See, I was heard it was bears. Two bears were in a bathtub.
I think it works no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Too shaggy dog. But it's the joke that you tell to see if somebody is
paying attention,
laughing at jokes that they don't get. Ah, right? This is a joke that is not funny.
Got it.
So it's kind of a Turing test to see if it's a robot. It's just programmed.
Really, it's just sort of a cruel trick, right? Where, like, you know. But you know what the worst thing in the world is that anybody could do?
What?
I remember, I was at a party talking to some guys who had done this to somebody, and I just got so furious with them. Getting a girl to pretend that she likes some nerdy guy for the sake of embarrassing him.
That's done? That's not apocryphal, like the roofies scare?
That's no.
Outside of the movies? That's terrible.
Yeah. Ugh. It's fucking just the worst possible thing that anyone could ever do to anybody else. I'm saying, it's seriously worse than murder. It is worse than...
That's low.
It is worse than rape and murder combined.
You should put some jokes about that in the game and see how many people are offended.
I bet nobody would be offended.
They'd be like, yes, you are rallying against this along with me.
Yeah. Anyway. MintBacon876 wrote, "I accidentally hit more than one key in the combat bar and it took me to the main screen and spent an adventure. I don't know if this reaped any benefits from the combat or not. Bug?" Well... It did. You're not going to get an adventure taken away from you and not get any benefits from it. One, it definitely happens that if you force too many page loads, if you trigger a page load that's going to display the last round of combat, and then you queue up another request for fight.php before that first one finishes, fight.php is going to redirect you to the main pane because you're not in a fight. That's what's happening there. But it is running. The round of combat that finishes the fight and gives you whatever stuff you would have gotten is running. You just don't see it. CD Moyer made a change a few weeks ago.
Can I hit reload on this?
Yeah, you don't need to. The newer ones pop in at the bottom. I reloaded it fairly
recently. I'm sorry, that's a derail. Go on.
No, it's all right. Sorry. The normal interface now, when you hit like the attack button, it blanks out and doesn't let you hit it a second time. It should. So, combat action bar, it's probably worth it at some point. Having CD Moyer look at the combat action bar so that he has a good understanding of how it works, because I have never even looked at the code. It's crazy.
I see Unnamed Hobo writing a question about what is that, tiny plastic figures?
Mm-hmm,
I've got a tiny plastic question.
You do?
Yeah, I have. I ate a bunch of the surprise eggs, and I have a number of these tiny plastic figures. And one of them that I have is from series whatever. It's the tiny plastic conservationist hippie.
Yeah.
And I've got two of them. And I was trying to zap it into one of the ones that I didn't have, but it doesn't come up on the zapping options.
Huh.
Should it?
It's also a monster that doesn't exist in the game yet.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I don't know if the plastics are zappable in general. Are they?
In general, yeah.
Only zappable within their rarity bracket.
Right. I see.
But well, then this one's just like the ones in this particular rarity bracket don't seem to be zappable. Is that a bug?
Which bracket is that in?
I don't know.
Is it an uncommon or a...
I think it's Series 2 uncommon, but that's just off the dome. I may be wrong.
It is Series 2 uncommon.
I wouldn't be surprised if the uncommons weren't in a zap group.
They are.
They would become common.
It is in a Wanda Poly set with Baron Von Ratsworth, Boss Bat, Knob Goblin King, Boner Dagon, The Man, The Big Wisniewski.
That should work.
Felonia, and Beelzebub. It should work.
Let me log in, double check it doesn't work.
Yeah. Can you... Huh. If you log in, it's going to log me out.
Oh, all right. We'll try that later.
We'll try it after the show. Unless you want to log in Internet Explorer.
That would work?
Yeah.
Internet Explorer?
Internet who now?
Internet Exploder.
Is that a fancy word for opera?
God, fucking opera. Fucking Chrome.
Opera was what put me off tabbed browsing up until about, like, Nets. Up until Firefox 1.5, which is when I...
Yeah.
Adapted.
What's wrong with Chrome? Is it just, does it not display our stuff right?
It creates a huge, huge number of problems, and it exhibits some behaviors that are just, if you have a drop down with a whole bunch of stuff in it, it will put the drop down off the bottom of the fucking screen so that you can't get to stuff in the drop. Like,
yeah, that's a bug. Why did they do that? Why did they make Chrome? They were all partnered up with Firefox, and they still are. Why did they do that?
I don't know. I
occasionally use Chrome, but it's more Firefox gets weird crashes on my laptop, and it takes a long time to load when it's crashed.
It's because you got those weird porn searching plugins.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think.
You got extensions.
iTentacle. Probably what's doing that. So if I need something to open up fast and like load Kingdom or load Gmail or something, then that'll use me some Chrome.
Really?
Horrible.
I tried it for like 6 minutes and got irritated and uninstalled it.
Finaldo wrote, how common is Dr. Pepper in Arizona and Minnesota? I know it's one of the big three, but not how big outside of Texas.
The big three?
Or is it the copycats served more where you guys live? Isn't Dr. Pepper a Pepsi product? I didn't think it was so. like a third
What are the what are the big three? What is?
I mean, I guess he's saying Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper. I don't know if it, like, where he lives, Dr. Pepper's considered a cola.
I don't understand.
It's, I guess it is. It's
like a Dr. Pepper is Pepsi, I think, and Mr. Pibb is Coke.
Yeah, every place in Arizona has either Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb. Huh. Right? Like,
you know what Dr. Pepper is supposed to taste like? Mm-mm. Prunes.
It doesn't have any prunes in it. It does taste like prunes. I mean,
it doesn't, and it doesn't have any in it, but it's originally meant to be a prune-flavored soda.
I mean, I can definitely say, like, it tastes like prunes to me.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean,
my wife used to work at a diner where they didn't have Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb, and when somebody ordered Dr. Pepper, they would put a shot of chocolate and a shot of cherry into a Coke. And that was enough of a facsimile to...
I was in Texas recently, and I tried to order a ginger ale at a bar, and the bartender said, well, we don't have ginger ale, but check this out. And he put a bunch of Sprite in the glass with, like, a little splash of Coke on the top, and it fucking tasted like ginger ale. I couldn't believe it. Bartender trick.
Huh.
Try it.
Are you sure that you weren't at a bar in Texas, and you ordered a ginger ale, and they said... We only serve whiskey in this here bar.
And then I drank whiskey and made up the rest of the story?
Yeah.
It's totally possible.
You drank whiskey until you believe that
I was like, well, all right, I'll drink the whiskey. And then I got like three whiskeys into that idea. And then I was like, why? He did have Dr. Pepper. Maybe he made it out of Sprite and Coke.
You mean ginger ale?
I don't remember what we were talking about. Anyway.
It's the whiskey tonight. God damn. MC Frontalot.
What?
It is hard for me to imagine, like, if you would ask me, hey, how often do you just, like, sit down with a dude and between the two of you kill a fifth of whiskey over the course of 2 hours? I would say, well, that never happens, but then I remembered, oh, wait, I guess once every 2 weeks.
No, I like drinking whiskey. I find that it sort of mutes the self-hatred, which, without whiskey, is sort of blaring.
Yeah.
Like a siren.
You're just constantly, feeling it. You're
like an ambulance.
You're not saying it out loud.
Well,
and I didn't get the sense that you were a guy that hated yourself a lot.
Well, you know, it's normal.
I guess so. Tormented artist kind of thing.
I don't think it's artist torment. I think it's like normal nerd torment. I just... You know, let's talk about something else. The Big Pie asks, I picked this question because mostly it's off the screen. How do we know that the possibility giant is a male? Oh, that's a very...
Because he's possibly a giant. It's not whether he's possibly a man or a woman.
Right. There's really only a limited amount of indeterminacy. He's possibly a giant? Is there
something? You can see his dick. Although, you know, technically that doesn't guarantee that he's male.
Not mentioned in the text, his dick.
Well, yeah, it's part
let's
of the,
not get into that shit.
Part of the way stick figures are drawn. They always have dicks. You just can't see. Their dicks are always sort of, they dress to one side or the other. They're always parallel to one side.
Which way do you dress, sir? I'm really glad that I know that. Not that I've ever been, like, to a tailor, per se.
Yeah, but if you ever were, you would know how to answer that, because it would be super awkward to have a guy explain that to you,
that
right?
That would suck. I would be like, somebody asked me a question about my cock, and I did not know how to answer him. You want to say that? No. You want to say, I was prepared to answer which way I dress. Although, actually, I don't know which way I dress, but I would know whether to say right. I would know that I have to say right or left.
You were supposed to either say right or left.
And
so,
I
yeah, whether
come
whether
up
you
with
got
one
there.
Of those.
What I don't get is, do you really, is there that big of a difference in the way that pants are put together?
Apparently.
Because it would have to be a really, it seems like it would have to be a really nice tailor and a really swanky pair of pants.
Yeah.
They would care enough about the fit to make it fit that
maybe bit. You're not accustomed to having a big enough penis that it matters.
maybe no matter how big your dick is, it does not matter, but
all tailors are creepy pervs. You're just like talking about your dick.
I was gonna say maybe the tailors ask that just to show off how in like to try and elevate in your mind the sense of
like how
carefully
right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, or to elevate in your mind the sense of how important your penis is, right? Like, yeah.
That never hurts the same.
My dick is big enough that where it is makes a difference to
in
somebody.
My pants.
Yeah.
It is impossible to further elevate how big I think my dick is.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think it's pretty damn big.
I think once you have a child, I'm out on a limb here. I think once you have a little baby, you start to think, well, my dick partially was involved in the creation of this baby. Partially, like, up to half.
He is proof of my virility.
Yeah. So you've got this little, like, this little breathing organism, and it's like, it's proof of your virility. And you're thinking, my dick was involved in making that thing. And then I think that maybe the baby becomes, in your mind, slightly like a reflection of your dick. So that you start to think, my dick is about the size of a human baby. Mm. Can you confirm that at all?
It is the size of a baby's arm clutching an apple.
Exactly. Or even you get into like the arms and apples clutching an apple.
Also, if you change, say, 10 diapers a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I see two dicks in a day, and one of them is a half an inch long. And the other one is the baby's.
Oh,
hey, you're down to two, huh?
See, having not had a baby, I just think of my dick as another thing in my considerable arsenal of physical and mental tools for disappointing women.
I'm going to open Excel. We're going to put a spreadsheet together on that topic.
Yeah, yeah. I've never tried to actually enumerate them. I'm not sure that your computer has enough memory to make a spreadsheet that tall.
Folks at home, 2 gigs is not enough memory for Vista. It's kind of a shitty operating system, has many drawbacks, but oh my god, how could you need 3 gigs? And here's the fucking irritating thing. 2 gigs, not that great. Cost you like 1.1.5 gigs, 1.15 gigs. Just for the just the OS is just soaking that up nonstop.
That's absurd.
Absurd. And you put in 3 gigs, okay, fine. But you put in 4 gigs, right? Run your nice gigantic Photoshop fucking layouts. 4 gigs, and OS recognizes 3.5 of them.
Sweet.
The OS does not recognize 4 full gigs, and yet it uses 1 full gig. Just to sit there. How is that cool? That's not cool. Any listeners in Redmond, please get a torch and a pitchfork and a sign that says 1 gig? Question mark? They'll know what you mean. Storm the campus.
Maybe just 1 GWTF. Nice. If you want to be really snappy about it.
I like that.
Expressing your outrage in terms of the number of giga WTFs your mind contains in yes. response, isn't it? Yeah. Stupak 2 say Dr. Pepper is not sold by Pepsi. It's Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, formerly Cadbury Schweppes America's beverage. There was a puzzle.
All of that's owned by Coke, right? Snapple bought Coke bought Snapple.
Did they?
I thought.
I don't know, man. It was weird. There was a puzzle at the mystery hunt that where everything resolved down to. It was like a ransom note with letters picked from product logos, and then cognitive leap that you had to make to solve the puzzle, which Riff figured out, was they were all, the title of the puzzle was I for One Welcome Our New Corporate Overlords, something like that. So the thing that you had to do was find out what corporation actually owned each of the brands, because they were all owned by some giant conglomerate.
Google Quest.
And it is just sort of alarming how few companies there are making all of the shit that we consume. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Drawback of capitalism.
Guys like us, we got to stay indie. It's important.
this is one of my few like heartfelt critiques of capitalism is that it's not, there's nothing built into it to stop anybody who's currently winning from stifling competition, and without competition, like the model falls apart.
Well, arguably, in my mind at least, what stops that from happening is that the model falls apart and you start over.
Right. It doesn't fall all the way apart. You just have a bunch of people sort of gaming and dominating the system, and then their gamed and dominated system runs on in place of the free market.
But I feel like if let's say that all of the food in the country starts being created by McDonald's. Say, right? Let's say unchecked capitalism, the only food that you can buy at a restaurant is a McDonald's hamburger.
Right.
Whatever. People would stop putting up with that, and it would create a situation where, you know, if they had enough of a monopoly that they were able to just start sucking, right, somebody would open a local restaurant and people would start buying stuff from there, right? Like, they would have to maintain some sort of quality in order to keep people from kind of revolting against the monopoly,
that's right? Ace, though, because Microsoft... The reason why Microsoft can do shit like that is because of the market share that they have.
Yeah, you're presupposing the like... Sorry, go on.
I'm sorry. The local restaurant in your schema there is Linux. But Linux fucking sucks if you want stuff that works. So, like, there is a monopoly in the product they do put out. They put out is kind of shitty.
See, what I would argue is that Microsoft, by and large, makes perfectly acceptable, good software.
We were just talking about how their operating system takes a ridiculous amount of memory.
By and large is a big caveat.
XP is awesome.
XP is pretty good OS.
I fucking love Windows XP.
They should have just upgraded the UI on XP. Why did they why did they fuck up my audio software? Why did they rebuild the goddamn audio core?
It's crazy. It's crazy hearing this dude talk about the problems with Windows Vista's audio, because they are problems that no one would ever notice except for like a huge serious audio nerd.
My lag on my multitrack recorder has gone from an absolutely consistent value that I could compensate for with perfect consistency so that I had perfect sync with what I was putting into the computer, going into the computer, being synced with what I was listening to while I was recording it, to something that varies unpredictably by up to 4 milliseconds. For most applications, 4 milliseconds is so insignificant that even a lot of audio professionals would laugh at me for bringing it up. But I am a rapper, and for a rapper, rhythm, precision of rhythm is everything. And I have not achieved perfection of rhythm, but I want my fucking computer to have perfection of rhythm, because for God's sake, if the computer does not have perfection of rhythm and I don't have perfection of rhythm, where are we? We're multiplying errors.
Did you see that thing where they analyzed different songs to determine like which drummers were using the like metronome thing in their ear?
I did see that, and the person who ran that put that bunch of data together was not considering the fact that many times there's a third option, which is that the drummer was doing it live with no click track, but then the producer was grabbing bars out of his performance and forcing them into a perfect bar length.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But, I mean, so do you think that there is anything wrong with using a click track?
No.
That seemed to be the implication, right? You know, and I could see somebody, the same kind of person who would say that, like, a CD sucks compared to an LP because you don't get the, like, warmth whatever, yeah. Right? You don't get any sort of human feeling out of the music if there's not imperceptible inconsistencies that your brain still somehow perceives and makes you like the drummer more.
There's a good, bringing up two things and I'm drunk, but there's a good argument for vinyl. We'll come back to that later. The question of the drummers, actually, this goes to what kind of music you're talking about. Funk and hip hop, there's a really good argument for click tracks while the drummers are recording. And the first great drummer who I ever recorded in my career as a home recorder, which I'm still in, the first guy who came to my house and let me set up a bunch of mics on his drums and hang blankets from the ceiling for sound dampening and like get a good drum recording out of him in my project studio, I was like, should I put a click track together while we're recording it? And I didn't want to offend him because drummers are sensitive about how good they are at keeping time. You don't want to be like, so you're pretty shitty at keeping time, right? Should I just throw a click track on there? He was like, oh yeah. It's like, yeah? He's like, oh yeah, it's like a ruler. I'm trying to draw a straight line. Why not use a ruler? Come on. He thought of it as a very like basic tool separate from his art. And for hip hop and funk, I think that's totally valid. If there's songs, I mean, there's so many different kinds of music, and if there's a song that would greatly benefit from having the time be kind of wild and go in and out.
So say like a Fish song.
That was exactly what I was about to say.
All hippie music, frankly, should slow down and speed up according to the particular emotions that are being evoked at that moment in the 37-minute...
You gotta feel it, man.
...fucking wanking jam composition.
You know, when I'm talking about music, I'm talking about Fish. Yeah. If I was talking about anything other than Fish, I wouldn't exactly call it music, you know?
So I always have a click track up in the drummer's ear. Even if they're improvising, I have like a snare and a kick. Just a... And they've got that, and they, and my drummers are good, and they will do whatever the hell they want around that, but it keeps them on the ruler. And then when I'm cutting bars and four bars and two bars out of their improvised drum performance to like build a song, all of them work together with minimal, like minimal tweaking, because they were on the ruler. And that's how most pop music is made these days, is by taking stuff and sequencing it in the computer. Like, very few pop song, very few popular recordings these days are made with like a live drummer going from the beginning of the song to the end of the song in one take. That's not, it's not done these days.
You know, it's weird. I don't, it doesn't bother me to think of a drummer using a click track, but the whole practice of auto-tune, like even when it's not used to create robot voice, like if it's just used to make sure that the singer hits every single note exactly on pitch,
right,
that kind of bothers me.
But, and I use it, and I use it without trying to get the robot voice. I use it to correct, and I use it because I've got like a great performance from somebody that has a couple of notes where somebody who listens to a lot of music and has a good ear is going to be like, ugh, that was kind of out of tune. And then it fixes that. And if I can do it subtly enough that you can't hear the robot creeping in.
And if you don't have the option, I could see doing it if you just don't have the option to re-record it better, or if the person is just not capable of actually singing in tune.
Which is both of those,
for a long time.
Both of those are often the case.
The article pointed out, like, a lot of great songs have vocals that are kind of off key. Like, the Joy Division is on, the dude's often flat. Like, Nick Cave kind of wouldn't exist if you auto-tuned him. He wouldn't sound like Nick Cave anymore.
Sure. No, there's no argument for using auto-tune on everybody. But I believe in the auto-tuner. If you've only got a little bit of access to a performer, and they're like, okay, I had a minute and I recorded this thing and I'm emailing it to you and you're going to put it in your song, and you're like, oh, awesome, I really want to use that, but that note is fucking sour. And then you can fix it with the auto-tuner. Oh, it's an awesome tool. All tools can be misused, but I believe in the auto-tuner.
I mean, look at Jack. He's a total tool, and he frequently gets misused.
That's true. So what's your argument for vinyl? When I think of the people who are like, yeah, vinyl is better than CDs, it's just my go-to thing about, like, people who are into something having an argument that does not make any sense to the layman, right? And probably was never going to make any difference to the layman. So what is your argument? I'm curious about it. Because
I cannot prove that they can hear it. And I will not make any kind of argument that layman would care about. But I will give you the nerd argument quickly. Digital audio has a fixed resolution. Say that you're listening to a CD. It has 44,100 sample points per second, right? That's the full resolution of that audio. And it has 16 bits of resolution within every one of those sample points.
Right.
That's the fixed resolution of that audio.
And vinyl has...
in two vectors.
Infinite sample rate and...
essentially...
infinite bit density.
Practically infinite. And it's not really infinite. It's
down to individual atoms of vinyl, right?
Molecules. Yeah, it is constrained by the molecules of the vinyl.
Not an element.
it is restrained by the vinyl... by the fucking molecules of vinyl stuck to each other. But actually the shape of those molecules of vinyl can be, you know, in space at different angles. So the resolution is actually even higher than the width of a molecule. So theoretically the resolution is practically infinite on a piece of vinyl. And if you have this amazing needle and you have this like wonderfully preserved piece of vinyl, there's a really good argument to say that, like, okay,
the very first time you play it, it sounds perfect, right? But you cannot play it without damaging it. Like,
that's very true.
So that in my mind is a significant, like, if you are down to the kind of level of audio nerdery that is required for you to care about these basically imperceptible differences in resolution than the fact that you're dragging a fucking metal needle across it every time you listen to it has to come into play. Like,
check this out. There's a record reading technology that doesn't touch the disc.
Sweet.
You hover a little optical thing over it and read and read. Oh, and there's another one that hangs a magnet or something over the groove and reads the like static differences in it. The audio, the optical one is probably digital reader. So then you run into the same problems.
Have resolution
but
problems.
The one that's
the
just
magnet one, yeah, that
the magnet one doesn't touch your disc, reads exactly where the molecules are via magnetism. Which is an amazing kind of magic that they've come up with recently. And
it's
then
the action at a distance.
Fancy, isn't it? I like it. And then it gives you your music. Anyway, I think that records sound cool on a really expensive record player, but I am really not the kind of audiophile who could tell you like why that would be better.
Playing records at a party makes me feel cool.
Oh, yeah. No, the cool factor is indisputable.
I thought it was strange that I've heard people make the argument that it sounds warmer, and that is an argument that makes no sense, because what they're talking about are the hisses and pops, which are artifacts of the imperfect playback.
I actually don't think they're talking about hisses and pops. They're talking about the way that the signal goes through record players and to the amplifier.
Well, because like so I've always heard warmer used to describe audio equipment that use vacuum tubes instead of transistors.
They
right?
definitely like, use that word to describe that. And you can simulate all that shit, although people don't when they're building CD players. And that's why people think that CD players sound harsh where records sound warm or tapes sound warm.
So I have a funny story. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I have a funny story that thinking about that reminded me of. All right, so Aaron from the Mini Bosses had this amp that quit working. And we have this friend named Matt who is like electronics whiz. And he was like, oh, yeah, I can fix that. And he took the amp apart and just messed with it like right there. And he's like, all right, I think that's going to do it. Here, let's check it out. I'm pretty sure this is fixed. So he turns it on, plugs the guitar into it, just plays like an E really loud, and it sounds perfect for like a second, and then there was a blast of fire out the back of the amplifier as it just stops working forever.
That is some Back to the Future type shit.
That's a cool story.
That's fucking great.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to take this home and actually fix it now for you. Because I can just imagine the satisfaction that you felt like you were going to have from, you know, playing this big power chord through an amp that you just fixed, and then suddenly, yeah.
This really just reinforces a thought that I already had, which is that life is just a big mirror of Back to the Future, Part One.
Specifically
the opening sequence.
Really, just the stuff that happens before the time travel is the only important part.
Yeah, it was the amplifiers, the E chord.
A lot of skateboarding.
The whole bit.
Ouch.
Oh, that skateboard. That was like foreshadowing. Him on a skateboard, because then they have hoverboards in Part Two.
It's true. That was foreshadowing. Foreshadowing a movie they didn't even know they were going to make.
That is so well written.
I just won't release him.
What?
I'm just kidding. There was a legend for a long time that the hoverboards were real and that the toy companies just wouldn't release them because they had liability concerns. Which, if you look at the movie now, it's pretty obvious that those things are hanging on strings. But it was a simpler time.
People are going to be fucking amazed in the future at the lengths people went to create special effects, like the hover. Ugh, losing nerd cred. What is Luke and Obi-Wan's little hovercraft called in the first?
The Landspeeder.
The Landspeeder. So you're driving a Landspeeder in the first movie, and they don't have CGI yet because it's 1977. And they build the Landspeeder gear around a car, drive the car, film it. And then they used the special effects that existed at the time to blur out the wheels and make it look like it's sort of hovering on a heat wave.
Repulsor lift.
What a fucking hassle. They wouldn't even bother dressing up a car these days to look like a land speeder.
They loses, would, and it loses something from that.
The whole thing would be CG, and it would look like it does. It's not physically in the shot. I mean, that's what happened.
It's the physicality gets destroyed. That car had shock absorbers, and they were going, like, up and down, and you could see that when they, like, accelerated or stopped, and, like,
that's gone. It's the whole thing where everything good that George Lucas ever did was just a fucking accident.
I don't think it was an accident. I think that the first movie was great because of his editors. The second movie was great because of
his co-writer,
Kasdan and Kushner, right? The third movie was pretty good.
I as a kid, Return of the Jedi was my favorite.
Really?
I
loved it too.
Going back through, I can definitely now, I kind of agree with every nerd on the internet that Empire is clearly the high point of the thing, right? And partially, you know, I'm a lot more of a guy who is into uncertain or sad endings now than I was when I was 11 years old, right? So there's definitely something to be said for that.
I have a theory that a sad ending movie like that, or just even a movie where, like, you know, the struggle of lightness over dark is not, doesn't have an assured outcome, only really works if you have a context of other stories that are part of the same arc. Like, if we only had Empire, I don't know if everyone would feel that.
Well, sure, you have to have some assurance that there is going to be resolution in the future, but it's good to have that. You know, it would work in a chapter of A Tale of Two Cities that was being released a chapter at a time.
That's the thing. It's right? Like, as a chapter, Empire has to be the best one. But is it the best one, like, objectively in some way, or just because it works so well as the dark chapter, right? That's my question. That's my question to you, the Star Wars consumer.
The viewer of your internet radio stream, ponder that while iSpeculum takes over.
Yeah, we got to stop being on the radio.
Thanks, iSpeculum. Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
He's a patient man, but he just pinged me and said, hey, you guys running long?
Uh-huh. Good night.
All right, good night, folks.